Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us, we have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions to the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. Or you can go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. There you'll find me. I could do a co-broadcast on Twitch, and that's on the website. Obviously, if you want to, you can watch me on your iPad or your computer, you know, or your phone, however you want to do it. It's all up to you. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my account there is sfuoncall. And my personal account is Paul Franz. That's PAULFRANZ. That's a reminder that I am very proud of being a Catholic, an Orioles fan, even though they are in transition. They're rebuilding phase. Got to tell myself that and tell everyone else that. They're rebuilding. And, of course, I love tech. So, if you don't like any of those, don't follow me. And, of course, I also have my Franz Games account. So, if you want to follow announcements on what's happening there, including, you know, client updates, you know, things that are happening on Starfleet Warlord, things that are happening on SFB Online, all that kind of thing, just follow Franz Games. Moving onward. And of course, just a reminder that, of course, this lovely talk gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes, the Google Play Store, and other feeds around the net. Quick news from ADB. They are getting all set up for next week when the latest round of Shapeways miniatures will be posted up on Shapeways. So keep an eye on that. I will be obviously... Hopefully, I'll announce a little bit about that next week. I won't go through the whole thing, but at the very least, you have a good idea of what has been added when it comes to the empires and the ships involved there. I'm pretty sure that there was one that they were looking at, which was, of course, the mines. They looked actually quite cool. If you've been on the discussion board, that's where they get posted. Moving on to the SFB Online tournament, the Sapphire Star 7 tournament. That one has, the signups are now open. There's 8 slots have been taken, and there's still 8 slots still available. So sign up as soon as you're possible. Looks like people are actually going to be testing out the a lot of the new ships, like the Vudar, like possibly the Fed with the G-Rack. And, of course, if I get to play, I most probably will stick with the Andromeda and see if I can advance further than I did last time, which I advanced past the first round. Second round, I got killed. big surprise. And so, announcement about the Saffron Crown 2020 tournament. That was won by one Peter Bakia. Congratulations, Peter, on winning that tournament. I don't remember the details of that. I apologize for that. Moving on to the library progress. Unfortunately, for FedCom Library, there's not much been happening there. I need to contact the couple of people who have been doing it and make sure that they have ships to do. So the squadron size ships are still 377 and fleet size 278. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have Barry, we have Dave. For all I know, we might even have Russ hanging around someplace, hiding. You know, because I do co-broadcast on Twitch, and lately he's been over there. I'm not sure why, but obviously he likes it over there, and that is perfectly fine because I want people to join me. I hope people had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and New Year's. I had a nice break there, you know. And, well, I hope everyone had their own wonderful weekend. And talking about being back from Christmas. Hey, Barry.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good, doing good.
Help yourself, man. I just asked that earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but before the show started, you know, got to hear, you know, that you had a good Christmas, and same here, you know. Actually, my son was able to visit us for a bit, so it was, you know, it was nice. It was nice. Mm-hmm. You know.
That's good.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The only big pain about that whole situation was that I spent the money to package up the gifts, send them UPS, so that they would definitely get it mm-hmm. to his house in time for Christmas. And what happens? Mm-hmm. You have to pick up the packages and bring them back here. So I sent packages just to go pick them up and bring them back to the house. You know, minorly annoying, but hey, I'll take that when I have my son here, you know, because during this whole pandemic thing, you know, we haven't been able to get to see him all that much.
That's sad.
Yeah, well, you know, it's for his protection, you know, basically mainly for his protection and the protection of his other people in his group home. And I can understand that completely, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know the staff mm-hmm. is very careful too, so that's always good. But anyhow, say the very least, I'm a little unprepared for today. Because I didn't.
Really, I'm completely unprepared.
Yeah. I'm surprised when I texted her earlier, getting, oh, what's the topic for tonight? Because if you did, I would have said, I don't know.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm probably going to have to leave soon anyway because I have to wake up early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week, next Thursday, I have a really, really early wake up on Thursday because I have to be at my mom's place at 5 a.m. Friday to take. No, I have to be at her place 5 a.m. Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So flying back, I have to take her to the hospital.
For tests?
She's, having an operation.
Oh, operation, okay.
Yeah, they're reversing her colostomy bag.
Oh, okay.
That's semi-major surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite stitches, not quite open heart, but somewhere in between.
Understood.
Yeah.
But, okay, so it sounds like I might not be able to see you next week either.
Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fine. I'll probably focus a little bit on shapeways, and you never know what else might happen between now and then. Because, as I pointed out on the news portion of the podcast, ADB is getting all prepped up for this month's release of new Shapeways miniatures, and that's going to be happening on the 11th. So I have to wait and see.
The one thing with COVID, people are less likely to visit each other.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that affecting their Shapeways sales?
I said I did not.
Because you would think there would be less.
Well, it depends.
Less face-to-face games.
No, it's you know, it's 50-50 in my mind. Because of, yes, people can't come by and see your beautiful miniatures as much. You can't play, you know, face-to-face. But at the same time, you also have more money and more time to paint miniatures. So if you like to paint miniatures, you might actually be spending more. Because that's one thing they've
time,
done.
Yes.
They've
a
found
lot,
with,
not,
with.
a lot of people have less money.
Well, it depends upon the person. Some people have less money, some people have more money. The people who actually are working and have a job that doesn't rely on them going into work, you know, like a restaurant and other manufacturing where they are definitely affected by COVID and not be able to go into work. Yeah, those are people that will have less money. But the people like myself actually have a little more money because of not traveling into the office as much. Can't go out to restaurants as much, you know, and so we're not spending that, even though, yes, we're still doing some takeout. We're not going to restaurants. We're not going out to movies. We're not doing this other stuff. So we have a little more money than previously we had. So as I said, it depends upon the person. So in some cases, I'm sure that the people are spending more money on miniatures. In other cases, they're spending less, you know. I'm not exactly sure what the demographic that ADB has when it comes to miniatures. Now, I know Aaron Staley, he's been buying quite a few of them. And that's because he got...
Well, he paints them and resells them.
Well, he used to paint them and resell them. I don't think he resells them anymore. But he's been kind of laid up. Is it laid off? Exactly. I forget if it's laid off or furloughed. He's, you know, he's a engineer, you know, train engineer. Yeah, so he drives the trains
around. Oh,
okay. And they don't need as many, which is weird to think about. But, you know, so that's why he's had more time at home.
Right.
So anyway. So yeah, that's one thing I'll probably be discussing next week, though obviously I know there's some people who don't actually appreciate, you know, me talking about the ins and outs of miniatures, which I'll admit they can get kind of boring. They prefer, you know, to see painted I'm sure they prefer to see painted miniatures and miniatures played on, you know, on an actual board, which I think would be quite interesting. Though that is one thing I definitely, I did do. I'm not sure if I'm pretty sure I discussed it last month, which was I talked to my daughter because my daughter is more of a YouTube kind of person. When it comes, and she does produce certain things for YouTube, you know, pieces videos together and creates an actual video from those clips. And helps other people do the same thing. We haven't talked about that for a while, which is her working on MEEPs. That's what they call them. MEPs, multi something people. The place multi editing people or something like that. It's a group effort, basically, is the whole idea. But anyway, and the one thing she said was that, you know, that she thinks, you know, doing the whole miniatures things wouldn't really help much. That doing mainly electronically, you know, basically using the online client, but do basically what they do with the NFL. And that is, you know, how they do highlight reels for the NFL and do something along that long lines of that for a game to, instead of the whole, you know, slogging through a 6-hour game. Because Lord knows, I know, Barry, you've come in on some of what I've done for that, which is where I've basically taken the game that I've played. Actually, I've done quite a few of these already. And what I do is I crank it up. I crank it up. I mean, I really crank it up to like 4 times the speed. And then I slow down for certain parts, So they see what,
What's the critical part? Yeah.
I slowed down. Yeah, definitely. I slowed down so they can see, okay, what is happening at this point? What's happening with energy allocation? What's happening with firing of weapons? Where also slow down to where, this critical portion part of movement is, because a lot of times the general overall arc of the movement is all that matters. It's like, oh, he gets from here and he goes around here. Instead of, sorry, I'm sure you heard that. Nothing. There. My Apple Watch went off. thought it said two words, which I will not repeat. But anyway, for the, so that the whole idea, is to see, show those pieces, and she says, it must be much better to do like a highlight reel instead of going through the whole game, piece by piece. Now, obviously, the tough part about those kind of videos, like any other video, is that it takes a long ass time to do. To do editing, it takes a long time. In this case, I've got a, in this case, the last game was like a, I gotta think about this. I forget whether it was a 4 or 6 hour video. It might have been a 6 hour video. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was a 6 hour video, because it was broken up into two pieces. And to edit that will take me somewhere around more like 10 to 12 hours to edit a 6 hour video. Least that's the way I see it, because I have to play through it little by little and find out, okay, where's the highlights, and do and get those clips. And of course, then I also have to have the voice, the audio along with it. So I need the
Right.
dialogue, and which I'm not sure how the heck you do that, because, well, I guess what I'd have to do is go through the game, watch it in full, take notes on it, and then after I take notes on it, then I might have to talk to my daughter about that some more. Well, I think she's got it right, which is to do basically, highlight reels. But the problem with the highlight reels themselves is, how do you create a highlight reel? It's not like I work for the NFL and it's like, oh yeah, that's simple. We just do this is the process we do. We're like, what would the process be? Because I know I actually talked to her about helping me with a video for my archery club. And basically, she said what I need to do first was to write down the script, what do I want to say, possibly even what she wants me to do is actually record the audio. And then she's going to fit the video to that audio. So, which I can understand, I can see that as the process. I'm not sure that is the correct process, but that's the one she says that works, for what, at least what she what I want for that kind of video. The whole idea of that kind of that video, which I still want, I'd like to get back to, because I've taken pictures, I've recorded video for the Reading Archery Club, and that is to be able to kind of create like an advertisement to say, oh, this is what Reading Archery the club is about. Come and join it so you can join the archery club and be part of this experience, that kind of thing. So,
Right.
there aren't that's there are not that many archery clubs. there's enough,
No.
'cause I know there's one near me towards Robesonia. Because the only reason I even know it exists is because of I've seen their sign when they're running tournaments. They have it signed right there on the PenAv. But anyhow, yeah. So oh, actually, the one thing I was gonna get into tonight, actually, that I just happened to come upon it, so I said, "Oh, I think that might be a good idea to talk about," which I'm not sure if you're interested in even thinking about it. You might just want to beg off here.
Yeah, it's actually 10 o'clock, and I have a 4 a.m. wake up. So,
Okay, well, Barry,
I'm gonna let you go.
okay, you have a good night,
Good
and
night.
I will see you hopefully
You
in 2
too.
weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, see ya. Okay. Yes. What I was going to actually talk about is actually this. What this is, I'm sure you see the title, it's just tried it, didn't like it. And that is that me and Steve Cole had a little discussion over email. And Lord knows, I think I talked to him about it because, what the whole idea of this next generation of background images and ship definitions, which I think will really improve things when it comes to the quality of the client itself. I think it will really help. He comes back to me and says, "Oh, we think that's a waste of time and so forth, and you shouldn't be doing it." Well, I already talked to him. It's not like he didn't know about this. I talked to him about it. I even emailed him. I showed him. I sent him emails of what. Here is what the background image is. This is what the ship definition is going to look like. So he has a good idea of what it's going to look like. It's not like I'm doing anything behind his back. I asked for permission to do it, and his response was, "I guess." And at that point, when I said, "I guess," he said, "I guess." To me, that I took that as approval. He thought I was going to come back and just say, "Okay, when, if you don't think it'll improve things, that we won't do it." Because here's one thing that he does not realize overall, and that is, I'm not doing much work for that. It's all, Frank and Matt and other and Aaron and all those guys doing it. So, it's like, "Steve, what do you think I'm doing? What do you think I'm doing here?" So they say, "Oh, it's a waste of time." So it's like, okay, well, so that whole thing's now on pause. And my guess at the moment is because as soon as he found out that Aaron was involved, that he thinks it's just going to implode, and I don't think that's the case, because even though Aaron can be a handful, yeah, he can, he's very opinionated, and there's some the way I want to use him, I think that being opinionated is a great thing, because he knows how he wants things, and that's the way things are going to be, and that's a good thing. If channeled properly, that is a good thing. That means you get a consistent product. And that's one of those great things that we had when he was running the library. We had, the SSDs, which will look like, SSDs from SFB, which is what Steve Cole squawked at. But also consistently has kind of not a Crawford box, but something related to a Crawford box, where it had a lot of information about the ship on the side, but each of the ships had that information. So it was a very consistent look and feel. Now, unfortunately, he kept on going over it again and again. So he kept on updating things, which actually was good. There was also some errors, which we found out later when we did some conversions. So, okay, he's not perfect. You know, so that's not where I'm... So that is what it is. But so what Steve Cole said, like, oh, we really need to improve the client. It's like, okay, we're going to improve the client. Well, how can I improve the client? So Steve Cole just posted this, as you can see, on the 6th at 2 o'clock in the morning. Not sure what he was doing awake at 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's say it's 2 o'clock in the morning my time, which probably is. He's in Texas, so that's like almost midnight. That's midnight. Midnight or even a little... Yeah. I think he's in Mountain Time. It could be Central Time. If it's Central Time, that's 1 o'clock in the morning. If it's Mountain Time, it's 12 o'clock in midnight that he posts this message. You know, which... Come on, that's nuts. When it comes to being up that late. I'm not even up that late. I can be kind of a little nutsy too. You know, and just asking people, you know, what, why, okay, tried it but did not like it, as the title say. Basically, you know, what are the things that you tried about the online client and you, the reason, and that's the reason why you left it, you didn't like it at all. You know, and there are definitely some comments here about it, and this is why I came up with a topic for this evening, because of I heard this, and I'm still not sure what, you know, with David Merritt, what his issue was. Most probably, my guess is the antivirus solution is causing issues, because Lord knows it causes more issues than it solves, in my mind. Especially with Windows 10, where you don't need a separate antivirus solution. But, you know, and then Ginger talks about, which is a weird, what's the one thing? He said the major improvement would require, well, and I agree that the major improvement require, now, here's always the gotcha, and people who know me, and I've talked about this in the past. I'm not sure, you know, if those people listening now actually have heard me mention it before, which is I am not a UI designer. I am truly not a UI designer. I can get a pretty good idea on things, you know, but, you know, I'm a developer. It's like... The SAP Online Client is like any other tool in that I know the quirks in and out. I know how to use it. You know, whether it is good or bad, I can't tell. I just know how to work it. You know, how... So, I think it's overall a pretty decent interface. Now, the tough part is about the interface is when people say things like, it's not intuitive. Not saying it's not intuitive does not tell me any information. It means, it tells me this. When you say it's not intuitive, it tells me that it's not working the way you expect it to work. But here's the problem. I don't know what your expectations are on how it should be working, how things should be laid out, and so forth. It doesn't tell me anything. If you can do something like, I expect it to work more like this game or this game or, you know, this game. Because, yes, as pointed out by, who was it? Here, Andrew Koch. And that is, some people come and what they're not expecting a client. They're not expecting a program which helps them to play a board game. I'll blow this up a little bit so it makes it a little bit easier to read. For those watching the video. But that, you know, they're not expecting that. They're expecting Starfleet command is what they're expecting. Which died. Basically, you know, it's all, in my mind, it's all because of Paramount that it died. It doesn't help. Part of that was that they, you know, got the Paramount license. They got all that wonderful, you know, they got licensed all that wonderful material. But then the program itself was crashy. It was buggy, and it didn't work well. After Paramount got involved, you know, the first version was based off of all the mechanics were more of a dynamic SFB, you know, a real time SFB. And that worked out quite well, because the great thing about, see, here's the one thing about games, and that's one thing I've heard multiple people write about, which is sometimes an electronic game doesn't always work well. And the reason why it doesn't always work well is because of the developers are trying to fix things on the fly. They don't do what they should do, which the point some of the reviewers I've listened to mention this, which is it feels like they have a set of rules that they use to implement the game. Instead of, they have this vision of a game, and instead of writing up rules, basically have it so they can play the game without being on the computer. You know, and the computer just makes it look nice and cool and whatever. That's the question on that is, you know, I could probably, I'm not sure what to do to make it look nicer at the moment, but because I said I'm not a UI designer, but if they're expecting a video game, they're not going to get a video game. They're getting a board game. They're getting a client. They're getting a program which allows people to play a board game. That is what SFB Online is. If you're expecting something else, I'm not sure why you expect that. The reason I say that is because... Oops, I'm sorry. Okay. Let's go to SFB Online. This, my friends, this is the website. What part of this part of the website makes you believe that this is a video game? What part of it does it say it's a video game? You know, it shows a board with counters. It shows you the SSD here. This is an old screenshot. You know, that's the welcome page shows you a screenshot of the SFB Online client in the middle of playing a game. Obviously this is a Mac, just because this whole thing's, wow. Look at some of the programs that were running at the time. But anyway, this is what it is. I'm not sure why people say, oh, they're expecting a video game. It's like, where'd you get this from? If they went directly to the download page, you know, yeah, I can see that. But still, you know. Yeah, here's Fedcom. So I'm not sure where people get that misinterpretation. Now, can the client be improved? Yes. The question is how to improve it. That is the gotcha here, really. Because of there's way too much going on and a little way to figure it out. SFB is a complicated game, and there's some people there. Now, I agree that I need to do this, which is I need to create YouTube videos which shows you how to use the client. Now, I've already done some of these already. Now, do I need to redo them? Yes, I need to redo them. I've shown basically what I've done is I've shown tutorials on how to use the client. Now, some of these are pretty old. So have I actually I have to go back and look at some of the videos. Now obviously part there might be a minor issue here in that those videos I don't have a link on my website to the YouTube videos. At the same time, I'm not which I think that's a bad on my part. There is, oh, who, where is it in this one? Da, 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 which is. Da, da, da. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Pa, 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 pa. But I might, see, the thing is, one thing I might need to do here, and I hear it. Where is it? So, okay, I don't see it. And I don't want to waste your time looking for something that I know what says. And that is, I say when you sign up for a demo account, you never sign up for a demo account. You just can install the client, click on demo account, and it will go. What I probably need to do in that case, I need to change it because I think I agree now. Okay, I'll get to this one right here. I'll get to that in just a moment. But I probably gonna need to change the way I do that because currently you don't even need an account. I don't even need to know what your true email address is. You don't need to register. You don't need to do squat. All you need to do is give a pseudo email address to start playing and just say, I want to use a demo account. And so it's demo underscore whatever. Now, given that, the thing is that I think they got a point there. I've got to change the way that you actually play with the client, i.e., get access to the client. Go basically, I have to change my model to be more of consistent with today's model. And I think at the very least, it will get more people. I think it might get more people. And that is change it from the current model, which is you don't need to tell me anything about you, and you're able to play and watch games and things like that, to the model where you sign up, you register for an account. And at that point, you have a demo account. It's a free account. You have limited resources. You can do certain things, and that's it. Now, makes it interesting. But see, the good thing about that, about having something like that, is that you have people sign up, and then what you do is you send them an initial email. In that initial email, what you do is you send them, say, okay, hey, welcome, you know, welcome for to signing up for SFB Online, or well, you know, some kind of welcome email. But in that email, it can point to go to, you know, we have many videos on YouTube to on how to use the client. Go here, you know, and then at that point, I then have to go. What I should do at that point is go track users, not you know, track them all over the internet, that kind of tracking, but go check to see, okay, this person, have they logged in? Did they actually log into the client and use the game, or at least the very least log into the client? Because after outside of logging in the client, it gets, when it comes to analytics, it gets really difficult. It to me, that's one of those things that I probably have to start thinking about, is how to have some kind of analytics when it comes to the client. What are you doing in the client? What, you know, are you just chatting? Are you actually starting games? Are you adding ships? You know, and so forth like that. Now, doing analytics on how you use the client gets difficult. Which is, you know, finding out, okay, what problems you having the analytics done and put into the client so I can see where your difficulties are. I don't know exactly how you could actually add analytics to existing code base. I have no clue how you do that. And my guess is that there is no software that currently will do that. I know there is for like iOS apps. I'm sure there's the same thing for Android apps, but Java-based desktop apps, I don't think so. I know there's definitely ones for web-based apps, which currently this is not. You know, so it gets interesting. So I probably should be doing more along those lines. Now, getting back to what I just highlighted on the screen here, and that is Cadet Game. Currently, actually, let me, don't mind me, I've been working on Starfleet Warlord, which if you've been watching my watching the podcast, I showed off last month some of the work I'd done for Starfleet Warlord and getting that all going, and I might be working on that this weekend. At the very least, I'm going to be working on websites, I can tell you that. Okay, let me just do this. I'm just going to bring up. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. Don't mind me. This is developer stuff. Normally, you don't run this. This is for my development mode. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my. Yeah, this is one of those things that I did, which was on request, you know, which is don't save the password. So I don't save the password anymore. I'm going to just go to authenticated mode. Now, I hate this wording. I just haven't figured out a better wording for it, which is, it's not offline mode. There was actually, at some point, there was an offline mode. The offline mode no longer exists. But it's an authenticated mode. Well, authenticated mode, because offline mode, previously what you could do is you could actually download the whole library onto your computer and then just use offline mode and use the software then. Unfortunately, that was part of the issue for Steve Cole, which was basically people could download those SSDs. And not, and at that point, you never needed another. You could just use those SSDs without paying for anything. So the authenticated mode, it's still it's a way of logging in without logging in. You don't actually log into the game server, but you're authenticated, which means that you can still bring up the game rooms. You can still play kind of off by yourself, kind of offline, but it still requires you to be online. So if someone has a better word than authenticated mode, please tell me, because it's the best one I could come up with, so that it gives an indication to people that they're actually logging in, even though but you still are required to have internet access. Now, this might no longer be an issue. In the past, internet access was spotty sometimes, and so forth. And that could be an issue. These days, it's not nearly as much of an issue, because most people who are, who have a browser, they can be online. Now, unfortunately, this game is relatively low bandwidth, so you can get away with a lot. You can play as using DSL with no issue, because of this is not a video game. That's why you can get away with it. But anyway, okay, let's go in authenticated mode. Let's bring up a new game room. I hate that the way that works, but I can't think of a better way of doing it. Okay, that is right here. There is a cadet version, which is, it does have certain things, which is, the idea is it has the different scenarios. You can do battle drill, scenario and attack, and convoy raid. Convoy raid, here's what it gives. You can play, you get to select what kind of ship you have. And it has the freighter, so you can fight them. Under attack, I forget what that is, and battle drill. Yeah, this is not updated in the way. This is one thing I still haven't figured out there's a bug here, and I haven't figured it out yet. But you can do a start. The whole idea, as you can see, is your constellation, and it's, all these drones. And the idea is at this point, then you use the client to play out that scenario. The thing is, it has everything that's normal for SFB. You got your shuttles. You got the information about what the status of the different things are. And energy allocation, because even in cadet, in this case, there is no need for the energy allocation, for initial scenario number one in the cadet training manual. But, it's things that I need to work on, like the impulse chart. It's an 8 impulse chart. So, and of course, the drones are speed 8. You're speed 8. So you get to fly around and chase them. Now, I forget. I have to look at the cadet training manual. I've got one. I actually have a card copy. I forget exactly how these things move. Now, I think obviously one of the things we'd want is a way of automating the movement. Now, here's always the gotcha for this kind of stuff, when it comes to automation of moving vessels and things like that. The client needs to know when you are done. Because I can say, I want. Okay, first. Yeah. Actually, I forget if scenario one, if you actually do an energy allocation. I have to look at it. But. So. You move. So in the case of the ship, it's selected. Okay, you move forward. Drone moves forward. This can move forward. move forward. Let's move forward. Now, I forget if the drones have automated rules or not. Again, but the point being is that the cadet man handbook, the scenarios are already there in the client. It's just that it's not automated. There are certain, I really would like to automate this process more, but there's certain things. Okay, let's say that these drones are automated. The way they move is automated, which it can be. The question at that point is, of course, let's say that, you know, okay, I move. Now the question is, when are you done moving? Are you completed movement? Because if we're automated, what I probably need to do is add another button to say completed, movement's complete. Some way of telling the client, you are done. Yeah, you moved, but I can't assume that you're completed. You know, now it's possible at that point that you move, then at that point I can see a nice feature where in the case at least in this step, this the cadet training manual, the cadet training scenario, where you move, and if these are automated, that you move, it sees that you're the only ship. You move and they'll automatically move. And so you can see how that your movement can affect the seeking weapon movement. For example, actually this one I need to back out. This one actually, if we're following seeking weapon movement rules, this actually would have to turn, because it always had to get closer to the ship. So given that, if it's automated, that's what it would have to do. Now, in this scenario, it's relatively simple. And it, in theory, it could be done. This makes it more difficult. It comes to EA. I don't remember if by the time you get to scenario number one, whether you do energy allocation. Can it actually help you do energy allocation? I don't know. Possibly because, in this case, it could, in theory, for the cadet, it could automatically do that. It already does certain things, which is automatic to the client, which is it automatically adds up to total power. It puts in the battery power that's supposed to be in the energy allocation, puts in that the amount that's a power is required for active shields. And the thing is, yes, there's a lot of EAs here. And the question then comes into being, this EA definitely would have to be trimmed down. Could be simplified for cadet, because do we need the recharge for the reserve power? No, because I don't think the cadet training manual goes through the reserve warp. EM, I'm pretty sure it doesn't cover that. Damage control, I'm pretty sure it doesn't cover that either. Specific reinforcement, I'm pretty sure it does cover that later on. But a lot of the stuff is not needed as part of to get a cadet ship. Here's the SSD. The SSD is this little cadet ship. See, damage control, movement. So I can probably do some modifications there to simplify that process. Automating it. Yeah, I actually worked on some of that. What actually got me, stuck was, as I pointed out, which is right here, which is the scenario where you can say, battle drill. Battle drill now doesn't show anything, and that's fine. Because of there is no choice. Now, should I possibly say what the scenario number one is? Probably. But, you know, as I showed you before, you know, okay, under attack, which this actually has two ships, if I recall correctly, it has one Klingon and one Federation, which in this case, it should show the ships. And convoy raid, that'll fix it. I forget if this will fix it. Yeah, there it is. See, if you move it, it shows up. But I'm not sure why it requires that. You know, there it is. See, your side, and then you have the drones. Under, so it has, it in the client itself, it's got the scenarios saved. The idea is that you can then go play through the scenarios for the cadet training manual using the client. Most probably, my guess is what they want is something that's more of an automated feature, where you can basically learn how to play SFB using the cadet training manual in the client itself. You know, the Dakota incident, which is this, which is, you know, Federation with the Dakota, which is the freighter. This actually was interesting itself. Let's go back to the convoy raid. Let's just go like that. It goes start, which is the Klingon against these guys. And to me, the interesting part about this is this. I actually, if I recall correctly, I had to create this freighter. I got to check this. Because I'm not sure that doesn't look right. This does not look right. I'm not sure why that's there. But I had to create this freighter. I'm pretty sure I had to do that. For the cadet training manual, you know, for that. I have to look at it. I think part of it is they're looking for more of an automated system for helping people to learn the game. Now, there's only so much I can automate. You know, so it's, as I said, you know, simplifying some of this stuff down, I can probably simplify some of this stuff down. Obviously, I forget if this is designed for single, I'm pretty sure it's designed for a single person, but I forget if I wanted to actually allow for, I mean, I think, yeah. Yeah, so your side and the other side. This things like this, where actually the idea is you have more than one player. And I forget if this allows you, if the cadet one allowed you to actually have two players. I don't think I ever got to that part implemented, because as you can see, I actually did some work on implementing a cadet training, you know, a cadet room, so people can actually play those scenarios. So I'll probably reply about that. And this guy, this is why I really want to look into, and I have been working on a little bit, and it's going to take me months to even to create a what I call a minimum viable product. that is to the idea of going, making the whole client web-based. Because then I don't have to worry about people like this. People like David Merritt. I don't have to worry about him having problems installing because of stupid antivirus who think I'm malicious. Or the program's malicious, and it's not. So, you know, sorry, that ticks me off that antivirus can't do its job. It seems, you know, it thinks anything that's based on Java is a virus. It's like, what the, you know, or malware in some way, shape, or form. I just want to freaking ring the stupid antivirus vendors because they're moronic. Yeah, so I've had a couple of people ask for a detailed user's manual. I have an old user's manual which don't look works because things here. Okay, let's go back for a moment. The big issue I have with user's manual for the client is the client, when I'm actively working on it, is actively changing. The UI is changing, and updating the user manual for those updates. You know, something, a change that takes me 8 hours, now it'll take me 20 hours. Because it'll take me additional 12 hours to update every part of that user manual which reflect on that screen. Creating a user manual is not an easy task. And Lord knows, I know this from an actual documentation person. Because him and I, we had a heart to heart on that. Now this, you know, doing YouTube walkthroughs, I can do that. As I said, I've already done some of those. Now, those videos are kind of out of date at this point, but you know, I probably should, you know, do some of those. Will I do them this weekend? Oh, nope, I don't think so. It's. You know, I have only so much. I have a limited amount of time each day to do things outside of my job, which my job starts at 6:30 in the morning and it ends at 4:00 in the afternoon. After that, then I have other responsibilities like making supper for my kids because for my wife, she's busy with her job until possibly after dinner's made. And on the table, she'll reheat whatever I made. You know, I'm not done working until 7:00. In that case, the question is, what do I do at that point? Do I actually take a break from working? Do I work on, do something for SFB Online? Do I do something for Starfleet World? Or do I do something for Friends Games? Because that's one thing. Now that we've rolled over to the new year, da-da-da, tax time. So I have to make sure I go through all of my, you know, all my expenses, all my income for the business, and then I have to go categorize everything because I've fallen behind on some of that. And that's going to take me 6 hours, if not longer, just to go through all this stuff. And get working so that I have all my stuff prepared for tax time, for when my taxes are due, and then we give our information to our tax person because my wife now also has her own business. It's gotten complicated enough that we can't do it. We can no longer do it by ourselves. We actually have a tax person who actually prepares our taxes these days, versus up until this past year, I was doing my part of the taxes. We were doing completely electronic, and we could actually handle it because I knew all the forms, knew everything about what I needed to fill out. But when it comes to her business, you know, it's a totally different thing because she has a constant income. She has to do quarterlies and all that kind of things, and I can avoid doing quarterlies, you know, because Lord knows, you know, actually in theory, I'm supposed to do quarterlies, but the state has not squawked at me for not doing quarterlies. I still give them money at the end of the year, you know, like everybody else. And because the problem is, how do I do quarterlies? I can't do quarterlies. I have no clue what, you know, each, it's not like I can, usually the idea of quarterlies in my mind anyway is to prepay your taxes. Pay the taxes, not for the what the past quarter was, but what's going to be the next quarter coming. At least that's my understanding. Now, I might have the things wrong about that, but anyhow. Okay. Let me just do this just real quick. I'm just wondering. Nope, didn't get a response. Yeah, I'm gonna sign up for that. But anyway, I think I'll let go with that. Hopefully, you know, we will get more information from people, you know, because I'm waiting for Mr. Cole, you know, because he's waiting for basically a report from Gene Sexton and okay, what is wrong? You know, why do they not want to use the client? You know, what's wrong with it? You know, yes, is it a little bit complicated? You know, it can be. But it's a tool, like anything else. Let me let's just bring up a regular game. You know, what we have here, we have your game control. You can add a unit, remove a unit. You have filters. You can filter what you actually see up here. You know, this is doing, go to previous step, go to next step. Actually, I need to change that. That should be step. That should be impulse. Okay, this is simultaneous events. This is for you know, for those times when you have a simultaneous action that needs to be resolved. You know, fire, so it goes right to fire and activity. Because what I might have to do for some people is remove a lot of the stuff. People want it simplified? Okay, I can simplify it. I can get rid of a lot of the stuff. You know, I can hide it better. You know, the configure, which is, you know, that's for configuring this thing. You know, I know way back when, in the annals of time, back when Ken Burnside was actually interested in the client and using the client. Basically, he wanted me to take these pieces and have it so that you can basically configure your own pop-up windows. Something more along the lines of Adobe. I think he said Adobe Photoshop, where you can create these palettes. And I can see that be very useful, you know. So, I'm not sure how to make this better. You know, what I could easily do is I'm not sure. Some of these things are, this is necessary. This is not necessary, but I thought it was useful for people who just want to go, yeah, okay. If you want to go right to the fire decision part of the segment, you know, activity, you know, that would actually bring up the activity window and say, okay, what activity are you doing? So you're going to announce what activity you're doing. And in that activity window, let me do this. Let's just add a piece so I can show you. There, and close. And then you can go to the activity window. Now, you have the different activities. Boom, boom, boom. I have this. You know, I'm going to do it. I was thinking about possibly having the possibility of using a list. But right now, it's a nice tree. So the idea is you can actually jump to different places. I'm assuming that you know where you want to go. Then, of course, there's the quick selection down here. So you can go right to change speed, tractor, lab, launch plasma torpedo, you know, transport, you know, use the transporters, launch, you know, go to seeking weapon. I added, you know, the Aegis firing opportunities into this one because this has the full one. And the idea is, of course, here, that when you select that up here, then down here you have the actions, which you can do. And if, you have, if there's more than one action, you can change. You can select your action that you want to do. Launch plasma. I don't have any plasma. Actions, just launch plasma or no action. Drone, same thing. I don't have any drones. Because if you had a ship that had drones, this it would show up right here. And change speed. Here's your announced change speed, and just change the speed here. And click change. You know, select speed plot. Yeah. I'm not sure how better to do this when it comes to the impulse activity. You know? Part of it is, in my mind, now I might have got this wrong, which is part of this, I think, in my mind, is that people that come to play using the online client don't know how to play SFB. If you know how to play SFB, some of the stuff makes sense. As I pointed out, you know, when it comes to the activity, impulse activity, that makes sense to someone who knows SFB. If you don't know SFB, if you expect the client to do everything for you, that it actually implements all of the rules of for SFB, you are absolutely freaking nuts. Because one, that cannot happen. Can more of it be implemented? Yes. But remember, this when it comes to those certain things, that this is SFB. If you don't know SFB, you're in trouble because of what's the things that you need to know about SFB. One, there are these different stages. Now, I agree that the client could do more about helping you along. Here's the gotcha. Here is the true gotcha on this, and I do mean this. I tried to I implemented for FedCom a client that enforced the rules. What happens? I implement the rules wrong. In which case, then the client is unusable at that point because there's no way to get around it. There's no way to fix it. That's why the client needs to be a tool to help them play the board game, not an enforcer. That's one thing I found out the hard way when it comes to FedCom. So, can the client help things along a little bit? Possibly. There's certain things I'm not sure how you would do. And I've thought about this many, many times. I'm confused about it. For example, okay, when you first start the client, what do? You're going to log in. Okay. I think that part is pretty obvious. Okay? Because the first thing when you bring up the client, as you see, boom, you have the client asking you to log in. Okay. You log in. Now, at that point, yes, it's a little confusing. I'm not exactly, you get thrown into what's called a bullpen. Basically, the general room where everyone comes and just chats. In that case, people can say, "Oh, you want to play, start a game? Okay, you can start a game. You can play a game." Now, that point, yes. Could there something be done better? Yes. Because, okay, how do you start a game? There should, I know that the client should allow you to easily start a game or join a game. Obviously, some of that is already there. Because, I mean, just, let me go back to here. Throws you in, okay. Oh, did it again. Log in. This time I want to actually online. I typed it in wrong. Okay. Now we have up here, we have the different rooms. We have the SFB rooms. I'm not sure what. SFB transfer is used, probably two guys are using it for transferring, but you have all, you got all these people already in here, you know, and then you can, you know, you can join a game by double clicking and you can join the game room. Now, I'm not sure what he's doing at the moment. Obviously, he looks like he's got a map, one of the maps. Wow. Might, well, I know that might be. Okay. Ground bases. Defending. You got the Zinnies coming in. Attack. Looks like Frank is in here. But you can still see his ships, because that's the way the client currently works. Okay, then you can exit the game. But I agree that you see the rooms, you don't know what they are. Now, you know, you can see the users here. And you can see the rooms here. And the rooms are basically there for playing the games. Now, I guess part of it has to be change of the way it works. You know, so the rooms that you see, you know, I don't know how to better represent it. You know, I understand that currently when you get to this point, okay, what do you do? You know, at the moment, every game you start, you can start a new game. You know, there's these other ones which are whatever. You know, those can be ignored, but you know, possibly get rid of everything here. Basically, when you come in, you see one thing. You see your, you know, the bullpen chat window, and that's it. And then you have buttons which say start a game or join a game, you know, and you don't see what the current games are or something. I don't know. You know, there's different ways of doing it, and I'm not sure. And the problem is that if I start working on those things, the question comes into being is how many people actually like the changes? And if I screw it up, well, I have no way of going backwards. You know, I can do all the branching and stuff, but that's how many hours will that for me to redo this port, just the starting screen. That's going to take me 10 hours, if not longer, just to redo it, just to make it so that people know what to do when they click on the click, how to, you know, I'm not even sure if, whether that caused more confusion or not, you know. That's why, you know, it might be better just to stay, don't worry about the client, work on the web-based version and just go from there and just stay, you know, start from scratch. Start from scratch all over again. That might be the better way of going. Anyhow, I'm sorry. You guys aren't seeing this. I'll bring it up again just so you guys who are on the video feed can see it, which is this. You know, this is what you see. You know, you see the users. This is one big chat room, and then you have, you know, the rooms up here, and you can also see the users, individual users, if you want to see all the users that are logged in. The question is, as I said, redoing this will take me quite a few hours. Is this the best way of engaging people? Probably not. But again, as I just previously stated, is it better to redo this or start from scratch? Start from scratch, I can probably get a minimum viable product which doesn't have all the features that the current client has. A minimum viable product probably in like 6 months. You know, I've worked on some of it already and I've shown in the past some of the features, how it does work. You know, so you can see the impulse activity, you know, the impulse chart. You can see the SSD. Actually, I even got it now, so it actually will draw a board. I think I even have it so that it will draw the labels for the hexes too. So, you know, that's good. And there is one thing which is always, it's, I was thinking about earlier, which is, this is hex based. The question to my mind is there anyone who actually would play it hex based, but you don't actually see the positions of everybody, you know? Don't know. Because the thing is, you need those hex lines mainly for two things. One, firing arcs and shields. You know what shield to hit and the firing arcs. So. Anyhow, I'll quit out of this. Why is it not? That's weird. Whatever. I'm not sure, but I just caused myself to have issues with. But anyhow, does the client need to be improved? Yes, the client needs to be improved. Do I know what needs to be changed? No, I don't know what needs to be changed or how to improve it. I'll be waiting for Gene's report in the next month, this upcoming month. It's already been a week. You know, I think Steve Cole said it was going to be something like mid-January or something like that. But before she gets her report in to say, okay, what's wrong? My guess is what I might have to do to have someone tell me what's wrong with it is I might see if I have to. I don't know how the heck you find these people. You know, find a UI evaluator, basically. Because I'm not a UI designer. I don't know. I don't have a vision for the way things look. I'm a back end person. I can get things to work. Do they look pretty? Yeah. And just to bring it back around, which is the only reason SFB Online is the way it is today is one reason, only one reason. And that is one person in the name of Paul Scott. He's a rated ace, but he sat down and he wrote down many suggestions on, okay, he did a really, really good job of going, this is the way it works. This is the way I expect it to work. And I changed the client to meet what his expectations were. And it became a much better client after that point. And that's why we have what we have today. Without that, we'd still have a really, really clunky. I mean, if people think this is clunky, you don't know what clunky is. A clunky client that was really difficult to use. I could use it because I knew how it worked. And that's always difficult for developers. Developers can't see past their own failings. They know how to use their own product because they know their product. And that's why you need someone outside of yourself to evaluate and look at things and be able to tell you what's wrong. That's why I've said so many times in the past, which is any feedback you can get from those initial people, it's gold. If they can tell you what's wrong, what was your expectation? You know, if you can say, well, it wasn't, you know, the UI was clunky and unintuitive. Okay. Can you tell me what you were expecting? When you had to log in the client, what was your expectation of what you would see? When you brought up a game room, what is your expectation that you would see and how you would interact? Without that, you know, I'm clueless. Because, unfortunately, I'm too close to my own product. I know how my own product works. And then we have these old people, these people that have played the client for 10 to 15, maybe longer years, who know how it works. The, you know, obviously, there are probably some features that they don't know about. But for those people who know how to work it, they know how it works and they will use it. But they won't see the failings in it, because they know how it works. That's why the new people, that's why those hearing from the new people is freaking gold. Because that's where I can modify and change things and know what the people are really thinking. What really is the issue? So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.